A week ago, I found out that Joni was going to have special music. And I spoke to her, and she told me the title of her song. And I thought, wow, God is just orchestrating everything because it's going to go very well with the message for today. And then she got sick. And I can't wait to hear the song because it's still a beautiful hymn that she had chosen. But God, He still does what only He can do, because the song that Limibet just sang is just right on point. God is amazing. Thank you so much for the music. And since we are talking about songs and about music, I want to share with you a little something about myself. See, when I was a teenager, my sister and I used to have a cassette. That's before CDs. And there was this cassette that we had, music cassette, that we would just play over and over and over. And it's really not what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, but you will be surprised of what this cassette was. It was actually this stage, I guess, the teenagers, I don't know if all teenagers, but at least my sister and I, we went through this stage in life where we would talk about, what are our families going to be like? How many kids are you going to have? And all these questions and things. So we went ahead and we bought a lullaby cassette. Yes, a lullaby cassette. And in this cassette, there was this song that we just loved so much, so very much. And the song was entitled, Big Steps, Little Feet. Big Steps, Little Feet. I think I'm going to probably have some problems. Oh, praise the Lord. And the words of this song are the following. Take a look at this. Okay? Let's see. Is it on? I don't know what's happening. Anyway, I will share with you the words. Loves me. I've got big steps for little feet.
You have to have that to run the pointer.
Change? Oh, wait, this is mine here.
That one's yours?
Okay.
Is that one
yes,
yours?
This is mine.
Turn it on. It's on.
Okay. It was off. Can you hear me though? Yes? No? Okay.
Yep.
My husband usually is the one that checks if the microphone's on or not, and since he's not here. Oh, there we go. All right, wonderful. Okay, is this working now? It's still not working. Bill, should I? It's still not working. I'm not sure why. It's on this time. All right, how about that? I'll just use my finger. My feet are small, it takes me a while. Sometimes it seems a block is a mile, but little is much. Jesus loves me. I've got big steps for little feet. And then it says, big steps, little feet. Big steps, little feet. I may be small, but He lives in me. Big steps, little feet. And for the last 5 or 6 months, I've had this song in my head like you have no idea. It was during camp meeting that our little Abby decided to stand. And she was standing, and I thought, next week she's going to be walking. You know, you just start thinking, and no. And then sometimes she would step, one little step, and I would think, next week she's going to start walking. And I would come here to church, and you would say, is she walking? And I would say, no, but 1 week or two. I'm giving it 2 weeks. I don't know if you remember me saying that, but I would say those things. And I really thought that she was going to walk really fast. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen, and I thought, well, what's going on? I even started getting worried because she started coming closer to her year, and she was not walking. I mean, she was walking a little bit, and then she would just crawl. And so some of you very kindly and lovingly told me, no, don't worry about it. Just because they start walking a little bit late, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them, which, praise the Lord, yes. And then She really started walking, I would say, the week that her brother was born. To make things nicer, right? The week that her brother is born, she starts walking. Big steps, little feet, big steps. I believe that today, and as we close the year and we're going to begin a new year, I believe that God is wanting us to take big steps. No matter how big our feet are, He wants for us to have steps. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen? So get ready. Get your shoes ready. God wants for you and I to take big steps. And before we continue, I invite you to close your eyes, and we'll pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're wanting to do in our lives. I thank you because you are a God that loves us so much that you brought us here to this church today. And Lord, I'm just an instrument. I pray that my brothers, my sisters, and those that are watching on live streaming, I pray, Father, that they would just see the instrument, but not that, that they would actually see you and that you will speak. Father, may we put other kinds of thoughts away from our mind. Distractions that are happening, or I need to get to this place, the food, everything. Just that we will realize that there's something very special that you're wanting to share with each one of us. Father, I pray that you may use my words and that the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a letter that a woman wrote to her son on her 19th birthday. And every year, I've read that letter for a few years now, and every closing of the year, I always remember this letter. Because even though we are not 19 years old, maybe there are some here that are 19, even though we may be older or younger, the year is closing. And what she tells the son always helps me to put things into perspective when I think of the new year. And this is what the letter says. She told her son, "My dear son, I write this for you for your 19th birthday. It has been a pleasure to have you with us a few weeks in the past. You're about to leave us, yet our prayers shall follow you. Another year of your life closes today." Now, for the next part of the letter, I would like you to think that our Heavenly Father is going to ask you the questions that this mother started asking her son. Listen to the questions. You don't have to answer out loud. Just think of each question here. It says, "How can you look back on it, the year that just went by? Have you made advancement in the divine life? Have you increased in spirituality? Have you crucified self with the affections and lusts? Have you increased interest in the study of God's word? Have you gained decided victories, your own failings and waywardness? Oh, what has been the record of your life for the year which has now passed into eternity, never to be recalled? December 28, 2019, never will there be another December 28, 2019. Never to be recalled. And then, if we go into the Word of God, James, the book of James, which is all the way to the back, right before the last book of Revelation, usually this book is so tiny that there's not a lot of attention drawn into it. Have you ever read the book of James? Yes? Do you have a favorite Bible verse in the book of James? Oh, see? We don't hear a lot about... I'm sorry, the book of Jude. I even changed the name to the porn book. You know that in 2015, my husband and I were invited to Souls West. This is in Arizona. And the children, the young people there, they would sing a song that just became... Oh, here's Tanya. She knows what I'm talking about. And she may even know the song. I may have you sing the song. She's like, no. They would sing a song that has verses 24 and 25, and it became one of my favorite Bible verses. Beautiful. Would you like to learn this song? Yes? Okay. Repeat after me or sing after me. Now, don't focus on my voice because I don't know how to sing. Focus on the words, please. And this is what it says. It says, I'll sing a little part and then you sing, okay? It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Your turn. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. The next part. And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Ready? And present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now the next part. To the only wise God our Savior. Your turn. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty. Your turn. Be glory and majesty. Sorry, I changed the tone. Dominion and power, both now and forever. Your turn. Dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Isn't it beautiful? You know how to say it? Maybe Tonya can come. Well, let's sing it together one time. Let's see how this goes. I don't know, Limivet. I'm scared about this. You want to come and help me? Thank you. Okay. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Isn't it beautiful? Well, sometimes I would come to the book of Jude and I would just focus on those two Bible verses. But there's more to the story in the book of Jude. It's a letter, kind of like the letter that the mom sent the son. It's a letter from God to each one of us. The very beginning of the letter starts in verse 1 and it says the following. It actually addresses those who are sincerely desiring to be sanctified. In here, it says those that are sanctified. But you know what? I've realized that humble people, they don't even realize that they're humble. Sanctified people don't even realize because they're always aiming to be closer and closer to the Lord. So those of us that have come here and that have the desire to go deeper, to finish the year wonderful and even more closer to the Lord, this is for you and for me. So it says that verse number one, those that are sincerely desiring to be sanctified, consecrated, preserved, and that have been called by God. So how would you like to finish this year? High? And start high and go higher? This book is for you. So number two, on verse number two, it talks about the gifts that the Lord wants to give to us. It says mercy, peace, love, may they be multiplied. It's beautiful. And then number three, with very loving words, the author gives the reason for the letter. See, he tells them, stay in the faith that has been given. But then comes the hard part. from verse 4 to verse 19, he starts telling them, remember this kind of people, remember this, because he's wanting to say, be careful not to act like that. If you're wanting to be consecrated, be careful with this. And he even gives names right here. He talks about the experiences when they came out of Egypt. He talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, people like Cain, Balaam, Korah. And on this group, he even mentions the angels that left heaven and that followed Lucifer instead of Jesus. And to the point that Jude even says, among all these people that have done very bad things, I'm also going to include the devil. Because the devil, he accused Moses. And so we see a group, two different groups. The very first group is verse 1 to number 3. Those that are wanting to be close to the Lord. But then from verse 4 to verse 19, it's a group of people that have some things that are going on that shouldn't be going on. See, verse number 4, it talks about ungodly people. He says they come into the churches, they say wonderful things, but they live immoral lives. Verse number 5, it says, it was talking about the Egyptians. And the last part of the verse, it says, they did not believe. Verse number 6, it talks about the angels. And he said they abandoned. They were not where they were supposed to be. They abandoned their proper dwelling. They did not stay in the limits of authority with God. Then he goes to verse number 7, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns, filled with immorality, every kind of sexual perversion. Verse 8, ungodly people, immoral lives, rejecting authority. Number 9, the devil in regards to Moses' body, accusing and condemning Moses. Now, well, we'll go back to that because this is very, very important. Don't forget, I need to go back to 9. Now, number 10, it says the people that slander, whatever they do, they don't even understand. They're like unthinking animals. Number 11, they follow the footsteps of Cain. Who was Cain? What did he do? Killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money. And like Korah, they perish in their rebellion. Number 12, these people eat with you on your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, but yet they are dangerous. And then it talks about all the different things that they did. Number 15, it says ungodly sinners again. Number 16, complainers, mocking, living only to satisfy their desires. Number 18, scoffers for the purpose of satisfying their ungodly desires. And 19, creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. And I hope I'm the only one that has done this. But when I read that and I read how bad they were, I really hope I was the only one. But in my mind, immediately came the thought, yep, I've been accused, falsely accused, disrespected, this, that. But we gotta stop. I had to stop right there. And God said, this letter is not for so-and-so. This letter's for you. And if you thought about, oh yeah, that person and that person, stop. Don't go away from God. Stop right there and think, this is actually for me. Because how many times I've hurt others? How many times I've done things? How many times I've been away from the Lord? This letter is for each and every single one of us. So this letter here, with this group of people and then the good group of people, has two different things going on. But I said that we had to go back to verse 9, right? What's going on in verse 9? Who is accusing? The devil is accusing. And today, you may feel very little saying, that was me. That's me. I've done this, I live a very ungodly life. You may feel like that. Now, listen to this. The devil is constantly trying to accuse us. constantly. And sometimes, many times, he's right. We are like that. But the rest of the Bible verse says that Michael said, rebuke, you are rebuked in the name of the Lord. Because there is a Savior, Jesus, whose blood is not in vain. He died not in vain. He died for you and me, the worst of the sinners. His blood can cover us. Now, there is a difference, though. We can say, he's accusing me. Yes, I am like this. I am like that. I am like that. But I cling to Jesus. And he covers me. We can say that. And then this letter is for us. Or we can say, I'm just going to stay like this. Because he's not going to push us to do something. See, God doesn't force us. It's our choice. We choose. And so, with this description, I believe that this is not just for the people back in Bible time. Do you agree with me that there's this kind of immorality going on now, even in our church? So what do you think we need? Jesus? We need a revival. We need a revival. And you can, yes, the church needs a revival. The leaders need a revival. The pastor needs a revival. The church board needs a revival. But it's I. We need to remember that it starts with me. Because if I'm pointing and saying, they need a revival, the very first person that needs a revival is me. That's who needs a revival. We need a revival. Listen to this right here. It says, it is whose work?
Our work.
It doesn't say it's the pastor's work, it's the leader's. It says it's our work, each and every single one, by confession, humiliation, repentance, and earnest prayer to fulfill the conditions upon which God has promised to grant us his blessings. Amen? So how do we have a revival? There's three questions in regards to a revival that we want to cover today. Why? How and when? Why do we need a revival? How can we be revived and when? And the first one is why, right? So why do we need a revival? Let me show you a picture right here. I don't know if you're able to see it very clearly. In August, we went to California for a week of prayer. And our Abby was just a little baby. I mean, she's still a little baby, but she didn't know how to walk. She was just standing by then. But when she got there, many of our friends have little ones, and the little ones already know how to walk. And so Abby really wanted to walk, really, really wanted to walk, but she couldn't. She was crawling. She still didn't know. And the kids would run over there, and she would run over there with them. She would try, so she would crawl really, really fast. And it got to the point that I think the kids realized she's very slow. Okay, let's be slow like her. And they started crawling like babies. You see the pictures right there? Oh, look at that one. They know how to walk, but they started crawling. Why is it that we need a revival? We need a revival because God is calling us to take big steps of faith, to walk closer to him, even if everyone else is not, to go deep. Not superficially. There is superficial consecration. There is, I go to church, I sing, I even participate sometimes. But there's sometimes not a complete surrender, not wanting to take big steps. That's a big commitment. I'm not going to make that commitment. And so we start crawling instead of walking. Why do we need a revival? Why do we need a revival? You know, Pastor Mark Finley shares a story, a fictional story, and he says that there was once the devil, Satan, who called all his angels, and he said, we need to have a meeting, and we need to talk about what should we do so that we can deceive these Christians.
And one angel said, I know. Let's tell them that there is no God. And Satan said, no, that's kind of easy. I mean, it's obvious that there is a God. Another angel said, oh, let's tell them that there's no truth. Satan said, that may work with some of them, but not really, because even in science, you can see truth. And so they said, okay, what? And then one of the angels said, I know. Let's tell them that there's no hurry. No, wait. There's still time. You don't have to worry. Take your time. Once you grow much, much older, then you could go to church. Then you can start making big decisions. There's no hurry. You remember the last part of the letter that I read to you about the mom? She said, this year has now passed into eternity. Is never to be recalled. We are closer today than we were yesterday. Sometimes we think, well, my grandmother used to say, Jesus is coming soon, and we're still here. Yeah, we may still be here, but it's 2019, and we are getting closer. We are getting closer. Why? Now, this next part, I need you to participate. We're going to read these Bible verses to realize why do we need a revival. Let's read together, okay? At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Amen. 2 Peter 3, verse 4, 9, and 10. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes as it has since the beginning of creation. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Read with me. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Even they who pierce them, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. One more. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Why do we need a revival? Because Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. Really? He is coming. He is coming. That's why we need a revival. But how do we go about revival? How do we do this? There are 6 steps. Quickly, I'm going to go. I know the time is running. But these are very important steps, practical steps. Number one is humbleness. Bible is very clear. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen to this. True holiness and humility are what? Inseparable. You want to go deeper? You want to be wholly sanctified? It goes hand in hand with humility. The nearer the soul comes to God, the more completely it is humbled and subdued. Amen? Next month, and next month is next week, we are going to have the 10 days of prayer, January 15 to the 25th. Humbleness to say, I need that. I want to go deeper with the Lord. Come. Come. Humbleness to say, I need more. I don't have enough. Humbleness to accept our condition and to come. Humbleness is number one.
Number two, prayer. Prayer. A revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. A revival need be expected only in answer to prayer. What is prayer? Communicating with the Lord. Communicating. No man, listen to this quote, I love this one. No man is safe for a day or for an hour without prayer. Without prayer. I have good news for you. John was mentioning about the phone calls that they do in the mornings, and they have prayer meeting. We have prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 6:30, right? And now we are going to start having prayer meeting midday, so that those that are not able to come in the evening are able to come in the afternoon, the midday. And so we are going to start that on January 8th. And then on January 4th, that's the very first Sabbath, and on every Sabbath after that, we are going to have Sabbath morning prayer walks, where we are going to meet right here in the chapel at 9 a.m. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to distribute little papers that say, you go and pray in the lobby or in the BLC, different places. And we're all going to pray for our church. You know, it's very beautiful, and I tell everybody, one of the things that I love the most about the church in Roseburg is Saturday mornings, where my husband and the elders meet and pray together. We've never had that in other churches. And so for me, it's like, praise the Lord, they're taking care of my husband, and the elders are just on fire for the Lord. Now the church is able to participate on that as well. We can come together and pray as they are praying here, we are praying, and then the whole church is praying. Prayer brings out revival. The next one is scripture. And you know this quote that I shared not too long ago. Build a wall of scriptures around you, and you will see that the world cannot break it down. A wall of scriptures. One sentence of scripture is of more value than 10,000 of men's ideas or arguments. Isn't that true? We have wonderful, wonderful words of life here. That we will grow a desire to learn more and more. It is written, it says. And that's, if Jesus answered like that, it is written, how much more we should know the Bible to be able to share with others. On January 7, a new Bible study is going to happen at the BLC. And we invite you, if you want to know more about the Lord and study the Bible, take every opportunity you can to do that. On Fridays, there's the Friday groups that already have Bible studies going on. And I know that the Perrys are also leading into other groups, other studies. Look at the bulletin. Take opportunities to say, they're studying the Bible? Amen, my favorite book. You see all these big posters and announcements of movies. Oh, this movie just came out. Let's go. The Word of God is going to be open at someone's home. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do that. The next one is giving. Give. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Listen to this. When divine light is shining into the heart and unusual clearness and power, habitual selfishness relaxes its grasp, and there is a disposition to give. The hearts of men become hardened through selfishness. You want a revival? Let God kill your selfishness, my selfishness. Stop thinking so much about me, 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 me. Poor me. Give. Give. You know that as Abby started walking, we started helping Abby, holding her, so that she would be able to walk. Do you remember who helped you to start walking the Christian journey? Did you just get up and start walking? It takes people to come and help each other. It takes people giving
what has been given to us. Give. There are so many ministries going on right now. Jaylene Maxwell is doing a wonderful job in leading the, in kind of helping the ministries to say, yes, let's do this, let's do that, to help each other, to unite, to give. We're going to have a newsletter pretty soon, believe it or not, and pray a lot, please, but we are, and we're going to be able to share what each ministry is doing. Don't be a reader only of the newsletter. Participate. Participate in the activities that are going to go on. This will bring a revival. The next one is surrender. And this quote, focus on Jesus. It says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Such a petition will never be registered in heaven as a faithless prayer. If Jesus, the world's Redeemer, prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," and added, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt," how very appropriate it is for finite mortals to make the same surrender to the wisdom and the will of God. Surrender. I'll tell you very fast. I used to make decisions at the end of sermons, you know, when the call is made and you go up to the front. And I used to get up and go, and I mean, I was saying, yes, I accept this call. But 2 years ago, I started doing something that took it to a different level. And that's every time I would make a decision, let's say the pastor said, "Who would like to give their heart to the Lord?" And I would go up to the front. At home, I would write down, "Such day, at such time, in such place, I gave my heart to the Lord. I made this decision on that day." And during the week, I will remember, wait a minute, what am I doing? I gave my heart to the Lord. And I will remember the decisions that have been made. If you, every sermon, I know that there are sermons that are hard to follow, but if you would find what God is telling you, God tells you something in every single sermon, as long as or as short as it is. God talks. And so if we were to make a note and say, "I did this decision on such day," it will bring about a revival. Now, the next one is the last one, and it's my favorite around these days, and it is fasting. Did you know that Moses fasted for 40 days before receiving the commandments? David immediately went into prayer and fasting for his son who was ill. Elijah fasted while escaping Jezebel. Ezra fasted while mourning over sin. Esther fasted for the safety of the Jews. How do you say that name? Darius fasted for the safety of Daniel. And then Daniel fasted for an answer to prayer. Paul fasted after his conversion. Church elders in Antioch fasted before sending out the missionaries, and Jesus fasted before starting his ministry. Fasting. We don't hear a lot about fasting, and it's a big step, and it's something that can bring revival into the church. You know, there's a pastor, his last name is Martin, and this pastor got, it's a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, he got a letter from a young lady that they knew from a different church, and the lady, her name is Esther, she said, "Pastor, I want to tell you that I like how you do your preaching. You preach a lot about praying, but I would like to encourage you to pray about fasting. I recently came across a book by Pastor Franklin, and it was about fasting. Pastor Franklin and his brothers, since they were 18 years old, they would constantly, before they would preach, that they would fast so that God would open the doors all over the world. He fasts each year beginning on January 1st to the 21st for 21 days. And he said, when you dedicate the new year to God, God blesses you throughout the whole entire year. God was blessing him so much that he began asking his church to fast with him for 21 days. Each year, this is what the church does. And God has blessed the church in amazing ways. Members left and right fasting.
There are many testimonies in that book of how God blessed them with physical healing, emotional and mental healing, spiritual healing, and even stories about how God helped people get out of serious debt. There's a story about a single mom, listen to this story, with a child who had leukemia. She fasted for 21 days and wrestled with God. After the 21 days, the leukemia was gone. Amen? Amazing story after story. Anyways, after I read the book, I was so inspired, this young lady says, that I started fasting for 21 days. Today is my 18th day of the Daniel fast, which includes fruits and vegetables. My parents are so amazed at how God has answered my prayers that they also started fasting for 21 days. They are a week behind me now. And then she says, but God has been pouring his blessings out on our family. We are not just about talking spiritual blessings, but financial blessings too. And we have been praying for our relatives that don't believe in God, that never have come to him. And just 2 days ago, one of those relatives called out of the blue because he wanted to know more about Jesus. I share this with my friends that are my age. You know what age is that? 20s. And she says, and they have started fasting. And God has been answering their requests that they have been praying for years. I want to share this with you, Pastor, because I really think that in the last days, the only way for God's Holy Spirit to be poured is if our people fast and pray. The two go hand with hand in order for the blessings to be poured into their lives. It's been such a blessing, she said. The pastor then started fasting. And then he went and preached about fasting. And he went to this place where there was a church that was kind of dying. And he preached about fasting. And this is what one member that sat all the way in the back sent to this pastor. He said, Pastor, our church has been praying for years on Tuesday nights and Sabbath mornings before Sabbath school for the Holy Spirit. But now the church is praying even more. It wasn't until your fasting sermon at our church that made the individuals privately fast. These days, we have been having testimony after testimony of miracles due to fasting and prayer. Something is happening at our church. The Holy Spirit is moving. I have a few people fasting the first 3 days of each month. We have had the most unluckiest person, an atheist, receive the Holy Spirit, and he's joining our church. Now he's doing mighty things in our church within a month. I pray for people that are lost and people are coming into the church. Amazing things are happening. Amazing things are happening. 21 days of prayer. If you want to, you can do this at the beginning of the year. If you don't want to, that's okay. But I encourage you to fast. There's different kinds of fasting. Fasting of food, but there's also fasting of things that are pushing God away from your life. And when you decide to give that to the Lord and to say, I'm not going to focus on this, I'm going to fast and give this to the Lord, that desire of you to be sanctified, you know that song, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, that starts happening. That starts happening as we fast and pray. Joel 2:12 says, now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Now is the day. Now, that letter that I read to you of the son and the mom, it's Ellen G. White to her son, her 19-year-old son. And this is how she finished her letter. As you enter upon a new year, and we all are entering into a new year, let it be with an earnest resolve to have your course onward and upward. Let your life be more elevated and exalted than it has been. Make it your aim not to seek your own interest and pleasure, but to advance the cause of your Redeemer. Aim to honor God in everything, always and everywhere. Carry your religion into everything. Be to say that word?
You know, I practice with my husband. Sorry. Be thorough.
There we go. In whatever you undertake, you have not experienced the saving power of God as it is your privilege, because you have not made it the great aim of your life to glorify Christ. How are we going to finish this year? What are we going to do? Let every purpose you form, every work in which you engage, and every pleasure you enjoy be to the glory of God. Let this be the language of your heart. I am thine, O God, to live for thee, to work for thee, and to suffer for thee. Revival equals big steps, even if your feet are small. I'm going to finish with this. It was 2015, and the end of 2014, the very end of 2014, and we were going through a situation that had me basically depressed and very discouraged, and I had not been like that about my church or about just our life. And so I remember praying to God and saying, God, I want to fast, pray and fast, and just get into the Word of God, because I need to get out of this for 21 days. So as the new year began, I started fasting for those 21 days. And in those 21 days, in praying and reading the scripture, God started doing amazing things, amazing things. He started showing me my faults, people that maybe I haven't forgiven completely, all these kind of things. And among all those kind of things, God said, Sayuri, you don't trust me enough. I mean, you talk about me, but you're not trusting me completely. Trust me. And I remember thinking, okay, let me think of something huge where I'm going to trust the Lord. I had lots of different friends, and even including my husband, who liked running. Now, I, ever since I was a little girl, well, how do you say that in English? You have two left feet. That's me. I mean, I would get up to try to run, and actually I couldn't, because it just didn't work. I couldn't run for even a minute. And so I said to God, you know, General Conference is coming, and they are going to have a 5K race, you know, a run. And I thought to myself, Lord, I want to be healthier for you. And I want to honor you. And more than anything, I want the theme of this year to be different than, you know, no more discouragement, but to think I'm running a race and you're going to get me till the end. So train me. I don't know how this is going to be. I mean, I'm really trusting you, because by my own strength, it's going to last 1 minute. I don't know how I'm going to do, how is it 3 miles and something? Running, not walking, running. And so I had all a calendar, and I was fasting, and Tony was so excited and started training with me. Oh, man, that first week, I was like, I think I'm done. But I kept praying and fasting, and I also asked friends of mine, pray, please pray for me. It was incredible, because the first week, 1 minute, and I was so tired, exhausted. But then, as the weeks went by, it became 5 minutes. And I was like, whoa, praise the Lord. And then 10 minutes. And then 15 minutes. And just running, no stop. Running. And this was huge for me, because I knew that every single step was God, not on my own. I had tried it. It didn't work. It was God. And as I ran, as I was walking, there was always a Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because he was the one almost like pushing me and making it easier. As he got closer to the conference and to this 5K run, Tony was so excited, and he would say, Sayuri, just focus on the goal. And the goal, not the finish line, but heaven. God is doing this. He's the one behind all this.
Well, it came to the day that we were going to do the run, the race, and there were so many people there. And I had practiced. I mean, I had run. But this time, it was in San Antonio. It was hot and humid. Oh, and I thought, how are we going to do this? And so I had my tennis shoes, and I was ready. And Tony had been practicing with me, and he said, I'll run next to you. And I said, no, all these days you have been practicing, I've slowed you down. I said, no, you run really fast. I'll go my way. I'll go on my pace. So he said, okay. And he came, and they go, and everybody started running, and I was running. And you know, it was beautiful because it's a beautiful conference where there's people from all over the world. And so for me, it was like, whoa, here I am with my tennis, and there were people from India with their long dresses. Nancy? Yeah, long dresses, running like that. I was like, wow. And you would turn around, and it was beautiful. From everywhere, Africa, Mexico, everywhere, people running. And the first mile was good. Everybody was running. Everybody's running. But mile one and a half, something like that, some people started slowing down and just walking. Some people would even take breaks. And I was running thinking, why? Should I? Should I slow down? And as I was running, I was singing the song that we sang. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I didn't finish that race. It was God. It was God alone who I almost feel it was so easy, and I would see people, and I thought, I feel like I'm not even tired. I thought, what is going on? I believe in my heart that God was probably carrying me. I don't know how he did it. But when I saw the finish line and I ran, I had to do what we should always do. Praise him. Him. He did it. Big steps. Little feet. Left feet. Yes, two left feet. Big steps. Big steps. Little feet. He is able to. He wants to have you and me finish the year and start the year with big steps. With big steps. When are we supposed to have this revival happening? For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Don't wait until December 31st, January 1st, December 28th, 2019. It's not happening again. Choose today. Choose this day. You know that I even wrote it down because, man, let me bet, that was beautiful, the song. And she said in the song, choose Jesus. Not for miracles, not for the stories that I shared, not for that. Choose him because he loves you, and he loves me. Choose him, it says, not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Choose him. The next part said, not for a day, it said, but for eternity. Choose him. Choose him. It's not time to sit down and see what everybody is doing, what everybody is running with big steps, but I'm just going to stay here. No, it's time for all of us to take big steps. The Bible says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So arise. Let us stand as we close with this song. Yes, I'll be here. Father God, thank you so much. You've given us the choice. We can make a choice today to arise and run to you. I love it when Abby comes running to me. And you love it even more when we come running to you. Big steps, little feet. Father, may we make a decision for eternity today. May we remember what decision we've made today. May we be revived to give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray.